If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
You got to make sure you align yourself with a legitimate firm that believes in doing things right. Because if you have a study that has exaggerated results and the IRS digs in and they start to question your unit pricing that was used to calculate that given asset's value, you're putting yourself at risk.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Frank Giudice is a business development director at the Bedford Team. He is instrumental in fostering relationships with people who can take advantage of the value adds that Bedford Team provides and constantly seeks to educate those on the subject matters of cost segregation, energy efficiency, and R&D. As a civil engineer, he spent 15 years in the construction management industry on a variety of construction projects. Frank, welcome to the show.
Awesome, Sam. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure. This is an interesting topic. You know, we've had a couple of guests on already that have kind of, you know, educated us on cost segregation. So I don't want to spend too much time today really digging into cost segregation, but I'd love really if you can give our listeners just a background on where cost segregation started and kind of how the industry has evolved and really just kind of walk us through some of that.
Yeah. And Sam, this is one of the biggest misnomers about our industry. Everyone thinks that you can just go and bid out your cost segregation scope of work and whoever the low bidder is, that's who gets the job. It's a very, very dangerous game you're playing if that's how you're making your decision on who to use for a cost segregation provider. So, I, per my introduction, I spent 15 years in large-scale commercial construction before I found myself in this industry just a few years ago. And what I quickly found out is there is a massive difference in quality and credentials between cost segregation providers. And so I'm kind of on a mission, a campaign to peel back the curtain on the cost segregation industry because I want people to go in with eyes wide open. And so to give you a little history, you know, it was really Ronald Reagan's 1986 Tax Reform Act, TRA, that opened the door for cost segregation. And it wasn't until the early 2000s, 2004, that the IRS finally acquiesced that cost segregation was a legitimate strategy to be used and stamped their approval of it. And that's, I think it was like fall of 2004 when they finally released what's called the Audit Technique Guidelines for Cost Segregation. And so bottom line is, unfortunately, when the IRS stamped their approval of this cost segregation strategy, you know, there weren't any real solid credentials or designations or certifications that you had to have to generate these studies for clients. And in fact, it was very vague. It was basically having a background in engineering and construction principles. I mean, that's just scary in and of itself. Just because I'm an engineer by degree and I spent 15 years in large-scale commercial construction, does that mean I should be able to put together a cost segregation study? It's scary, okay? And so bottom line is, you know, from 1986 to early 2000s, there were a bunch of court cases that transpired that basically about cost segregation that, you know, allowed and disallowed certain assets to be segregated. And those court cases really set the precedent for cost segregation. And so, you know, very quickly on after that 2004 release of the Audit Technique Guideline by the IRS, as you can imagine, everybody jumped into this industry to set up their own cost seg firm. And there are a lot of mom and pop providers out there. And I don't mean any, you know, bad vibes to mom and pops, but you got to do it right. So what happened was in the mid 2000s, the more legitimate cost segregation providers came together and said, hey, listen, we need to set some sort of standard here on what a proper cost segregation, you know, provider is and the credentials they need to have and how they go about doing their study to make sure that it's IRS audit proof. And so it was the American Society of Cost Segregation Professionals that really set the bar on who a legitimate cost segregation provider is. And they did that by coming up with a code of ethics, standard operating procedures. But better than that, they came up with what's called the Certified Cost Segregation Professional designation, a CCSP, Certified Cost Segregation Professional. And that person had to have like a minimum of 5 to 7 years of prior cost segregation experience before they could even take the test. And there's a whole whole educational, you know, process you have to go through. But a lot of that educational process are those court cases from 86 to, you know, the early 2000s and still happening today of all these court rulings. And this is something that anybody putting together a study, they need to know about these court rulings and these proceedings that occurred, because if they don't know about them and they're segregating assets that are disallowed by court case, you know, 125-X, you just put your client at risk. So the American Society of Cost Segregation Professionals took this very seriously. And still to this day, I think there's only around 50 certified cost segregation professionals in the entire country. So 50 individuals in the entire country that hold this designation. And Bedford has 8 of them. So do the math, right, Sam? I mean, think of how many cost segregation providers are out there. I mean, just Google cost segregation and you're going to see a whole litany of providers. So I just tell people the first thing you should be doing is making sure that you're using a cost segregation provider that has at a minimum at least one certified cost segregation professional through the American Society of Cost Segregation Professionals on their staff. Otherwise, you are downright putting yourself at more risk than you probably need to, especially if you're a syndicator and you're representing not only your other GPs, but your LPs. This is not something you want to mess around with and have the IRS start poking holes in your study. It's penny wise and pound foolish to save yourself a few thousand dollars to go with a provider who doesn't have the credentials. And and let's face it, Sam, I'm sure you're somebody who has had cost segregation done on your properties. You already know that the value of these studies pays for itself. Sure. So the headache that could be caused by moving forward with a provider who doesn't have the staff that a Bedford has and the checks and balances. You know, we have a tax department, we have an engineering department. So once our engineer completes a study, it's being reviewed by the engineering department before it gets passed to the tax department. And then the tax department gives their final review and approval and it gets pushed through the process. But, you know, a lot of providers out there, it's just the engineer completes a study and that's it. It gets pushed out. And oh, by the way, calling them an engineer, for some of these other providers is probably giving them a little too much credit. So you got to be careful. You got to be careful.
What are some of the risks that you said it's that you're playing a dangerous game? What are some of the risks that syndicators may be taking on that they're not aware of?
The risk is you have a study that was performed by people who don't know any better. And they are, or sometimes, and you know, this is the other game that gets played, right? Because when you go out and you bid out your cost segregation work, naturally, instinctively, you're going to look at what's the fixed fee and how much are they estimating that they're going to, how much accelerated depreciation deductions are they estimating to give me? And you're going to do a ratio. What's the fixed fee as compared to the amount of accelerated depreciation deductions? And you know, again, a lot of my clients are number people. So instinctively, I get it, right? That's what you want to do. You want to look at fixed fee and how much accelerated depreciation and whoever's the cheapest and giving me the most. And that's the guy I go with or the gal I go with. Bad, right? Because this is just an estimate. These people have not walked through your building. They haven't, you know, so that's why I err on the side of conservative. All of my estimates, I stay very conservative with my promised accelerated depreciation deductions. And my fixed fee is my fixed fee. That's not contingent on what the accelerated depreciation deductions are. That's based on how many engineering hours are required for my engineer to complete that study. So, you know, be very careful when making your decision. So to answer your question, once you take this study, once you choose who your cost segregation provider is, you're locked into their numbers. You're using their numbers on your tax return. And so once those numbers get uploaded to the IRS, you're locked in. You're putting all of your faith in the fact that that engineering study was done correctly. And if the IRS opens up an audit and they start to dig in, you could be giving, you know, and they find holes in the study of things that were segregated, or because again, cost segregation is a cost estimating engineering, you know, that's what it is. It's basically an engineering based study, but it's cost estimating. Okay. And so it's very, very easy for people to exaggerate the price per square foot of a given type of asset, or price per lineal foot, or per each. It's very easy to exaggerate the unit price so that it makes the results look that much better. So you gotta make sure you align yourself with a legitimate firm that believes in doing things right. Because if you have a study that has exaggerated results, and the IRS digs in and they start to question your unit pricing that was used to calculate that given asset's value, you're putting yourself at risk. You're putting yourself at risk for paying back accelerated depreciation deductions you claimed but shouldn't have claimed because it was calculated incorrectly. Penalties, you know, interest on the tax savings. I mean, there's a whole litany of things that you just need to know what you're going into. You need to know eyes wide open, you know, that we're not all created equal.
Have we seen it where, and I don't know if this is, I mean, I would assume this is possible, but have we seen it where, let's say someone gets a cost segregation study done year one, they sell the asset in year five, get audited in year six. Let's assume this is a syndication, right? So I guess it's technically possible that they could go back to all of the limited partners after the asset sold and say, hey guys, we got a monster tax bill. Is that plausible, or am I just dreaming here?
I think that's certainly a doomsday scenario, but I believe the IRS, there's a certain look back period that they have. So I think it's like a 3-year look back period. So the three past open tax years is what they have the ability. So for instance, you know, Sam, you know, Brick and Investment Group hasn't filed your 2020 taxes yet. Play with me here. Right. So that means your 2017 taxes are still up for grabs for the IRS to look into. I believe, and again, this is where, you know, I'm just going to claim that I'm the dopey business development Jimmy the Dunce, you know, guy. I believe that you know, once you file your 2020 taxes and it gets reviewed and approved by the IRS, I think that now negates them from going into 2017. I could be wrong. Now you're getting me into uncharted territory.
Right. No, that's fair. And that even so, I mean, which I guess, you know, most of the time, I guess if you're doing bonus depreciation, that's going to happen early on in a syndication, which those, you know, last 5 to 8 years. So,
yeah, but you bring up a good point, you know, and this is what I try to stress to people. With the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which was the largest tax reform act since the Ronald Reagan 1986 TRA, that 100% bonus depreciation on acquired real estate is massive. It's a massive perquisite. And so, you know, don't think that the IRS, when they finally catch up with all this tax reform, don't think that they're not going to start targeting some of these properties that have been taking advantage of 100% bonus. So it's even all the more reason to make sure that you're aligning yourself with a legitimate cost segregation provider.
Is there an insurance that you can buy through these providers or through Bedford or other people that will, you know, basically guarantee the study, kind of like a, I don't know, I'm thinking of, you know, like an H&R Block or something like that that says, you know, like, hey, you know, if we screw up your taxes, then, you know, we'll pay it. Like,
yeah, Sam, another good point you brought up. You'll see a lot of these cost segregation providers, including Bedford, you know, they offer what's called like an audit defense guarantee, okay? And what I will tell you is, I mean, I know Bedford carries professional liability insurance, so we have our rears covered. I don't think a lot of other cost seg providers out there are carrying professional liability insurance. But what I was going to say is, even though a cost segregation provider will tell you that, you know, 100% audit defense guarantee, warranty, whatever they want to call it, I'll be very honest. I know some of the behind the scenes games that these businesses are playing, and I would not want to hold them to their word that they will actually honor that 100% audit defense guarantee. And that's another thing. you got to make sure you read the proposals and the contracts and the engagement letters, because a lot of times in little black writing, you know, there's things that negate that 100% audit defense guarantee if you don't do something in a timely manner. So you got to make sure that you know who you're working with. And again, what I will tell you is typically the way the IRS works is they don't just open up a full-blown audit. What they'll do is they'll send IDRs, information document requests, IDR. They'll send an IDR to the CPA who filed the return, and it's basically just asking some questions about things that they're possibly seeing in the COSEG study. And if you can get those IDRs answered and satisfy, then the IRS says, okay, good enough, that works for me, and they never even open up a full-blown audit. I'm not trying to scare people here, and you know, the first thing that they see that could be wrong with a COSEG study, they open up an audit. That's not the case. They usually start slow. They start with just some simple IDRs, and then if they're not really getting satisfactory examples or answers and responses, then they'll open up a full-blown audit. To answer your question, can you buy an insurance policy? I mean, your insurance policy is the time and effort you put in upfront in vetting your COSEG provider. That to me, that's worth its weight in gold. It blows my mind how many people say, sorry, Frank, I went with so-and-so because they were, you know, $3,000 cheaper and I just can't substantiate the, and I'm just shaking my head because I know who so-and-so is. And I know that, you know, they just don't, they're not even on the same playing field as Bedford and a lot of our other, you know, legitimate providers within the American Society of Cost Segregation Professionals.
Yeah. And you would think on, I mean, especially for the deals that are getting major cost segregation studies done, that a few thousand bucks isn't going to move the needle any.
You know, Sam, maybe I should turn this interview back over on you. How is it? Explain to me, when you have several GPs and several LPs, how is it that a few thousand dollars makes or breaks a deal? I can't fathom how, when that gets split up amongst everybody, why would you not want to make a decision based on credentials and a quality firm who stands behind, you know, blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's crazy to me, but I can't tell you how many syndicators, they are more than happy to just save themselves $3,000 and all their limited partners, you know, $3,000. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's a big roll of the dice.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk a little bit. I'm going to make a left turn here, but is there a deal size that it makes sense, or under a certain size where it doesn't make sense to do a COSEG study?
So first and foremost, I always want to make sure that someone is going to hold on to their commercial real estate for at least like 3 years. So if you have any, you know, if you're going to flip a property in less than 3 years, I mean, you can sometimes substantiate less than 3 years still doing COSEG, because 100% bonus, you get everything in year one. So you're automatically day one, you're taking advantage of the time value of money concept by doing cost segregation.
Right.
So if you can capitalize on that time value of money for the first 2 years of ownership, and it's worth it to you to free up that cash flow, then rock and roll. And quite honestly, Sam, not knowing what the Biden administration is going to do for 2022 going forward, a lot of people are looking for any way possible to free up cash flow because they want to hurry up and acquire real estate in 2021, because it could be the last year that 100% bonus depreciation is allowed. So it's always, like I tell people, it's facts and circumstances. But I mean, you know, I've had people who buy two families for $350,000. You back $70,000 out for land, you're left with $280,000. $280,000, I mean, you get, let's say you get, you know, 10-15% cost seg yield. That's $28,000 to $40,000 of accelerated depreciation all in year one. You know, that could be worth it, right? I mean, the cost of a fixed fee to do a simple two-family, three-family, you know, as long as it's not in the middle of nowhere in the state of Maine, you know, you're going to get that for a fixed fee of like $3,500. So $3,500 to get yourself $40,000 in accelerated depreciation, some people wouldn't even bat an eye. They'd say, absolutely, sign me up. So it's all facts and circumstances. And with 100% bonus, all I can tell you is it makes a lot of projects or properties that were not candidates, absolute candidates now.
That's fascinating. Now, do you guys go out and actually site visit every one of your projects?
No, I'm not going to blow smoke. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, think about it. We've got properties all over the country. And even though we're a national firm and we've got offices in all four corners in the center of this country, you know, there's still at the end of the day, you know, I'm the Northeast Business Development Director. I cover everything from Virginia to Maine, minus some parts of New England. I mean, you know, I live in upstate New York. To drive to every property would be crazy. So that's why, and it's a good segue, that's why, you know, we all use Google Earth. Any business development, who's not in close proximity to go and see for themselves, they're going on Google Earth, they're looking up the address. You can do takeoffs on Google Earth. You can get a good idea of what the building looks like, how much parking lot's associated with it. You can see the property lines. I mean, Google Earth has been a killer tool for a lot of business development folks within cost segregation. So that'll give you a high level overview. And then when you get appraisal documents or property condition reports, that can fill in the some of the missing pieces. But at the end of the day, there's nothing like being there in person. But you literally can't be there in person for the sake of just generating an estimate that you don't may not even be chosen to do the project. So that's why I stay conservative, right? Because the last thing I want to do is go in liberal with my estimate and promise the world. And then what happens, Sam, is now I'm putting pressure on my engineer to meet those numbers of my estimate because nobody wants the company to look like fools. And so now the engineer's more incentivized to exaggerate the numbers. So it's a vicious cycle you get into. And so that's why I tell people, work with a provider who's going to give you a conservative estimate, you know, and know that, you know, if you're okay with those numbers and the conservative estimate, then you're going to be more than satisfied with the final study. And it takes the pressure off the engineer of feeling like he has to, you know, up the square foot price for a certain asset. I mean, you just got to do things right, Sam. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. You need to work with good people and that you trust and you build a rapport with and you know, you got to do, you can't just trust them on their word. I have a one-page questionnaire that I send all my clients who I know are competitively bidding me. And I say, please ask these 10 questions of whoever you're bidding me against to make sure we're on a level playing field.
Right. Frank, I think that's awesome. I've actually learned a lot today. One, you know, about the kind of formation of, you know, cost segregation, that the industry as a whole, but also some things we can be doing to really protect these studies when they're done and make sure they're being done properly. So this has been fascinating. Let's jump here into the final four if we can.
And you and I, Sam, better do some talking after this.
We will. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. What is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
Build a circle of trusted advisors, because at the end of the day, you're not going to know everything. And you need to be able to rely on trusted advisors to give you sound advice and to introduce you to strategies like cost segregation. I can't tell you how many people I bump into who still have no idea what cost segregation is. And they've owned commercial real estate for 20 plus years. So you got to align yourself with the right CPA, okay? I work with CPAs all the time. And there's a big scale of, you know, just like cost seg providers, there's a big difference between the best, the worst, the middle. So align yourself with trusted advisors, financial advisors, CPAs. You need to make sure that you have people looking out on your best behalf to maximize your time on this planet and how to make the most juice.
Right. Absolutely. What is one thing you are currently doing to stay on top of your game?
I'm actually always listening to podcasts myself. I mean, you know, to me, COVID has kept me off the road more than I typically am. But when I'm on the road, I mean, I'm listening to podcasts all the time about my respective industry because I want to be able to provide sound advice, value add. I'm always looking to find to give value add to my clients outside of cost segregation. You know, there's a plethora of tax strategies out there that people should be aware of. So I'm always more than happy to be recommending other avenues to look into for my clients to save them money.
Right. No, I love that. When it comes to investing in the world, what is one thing you are doing to make the world a better place?
I'd like to think that my 7-month-old son, bringing good people into the world and raising them and taking the time to be a good parent and being accountable, right? Like being accountable as a parent and holding your children accountable. Like that's where I feel like the world is really lacking, is there's no accountability anymore. Right. You know, my poor Johnny, he didn't do that. It's like, no, poor Johnny did do that. And you were the parent who let him think that it was okay to do that. So just I could blab on forever here, Sam, but I think, you know, just raising a good, decent child and bringing them into this world is a good start.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. The world is distinctly short on good parents. So good for you. That's fantastic. Frank, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
You can, by all means, you can go on Bedford's website, www.bedfordteam.com, and you can find me there. I have my own webpage. You know, there's a meet the team kind of page, and you can click on our profiles. Call me. You know, I'm still old school. I'm 40 years old and still like to use the phone. So 518-898-6603. Again, 518-898-6603. And, you know, like I said, I could give you my email address, but that's in, just go to the Bedford's website, track me down. More than happy. Again, I fell into this industry and I want to make sure I lead people right. So I'm more than happy to help be a resource partner and educate anybody who's interested in learning more. It's not about making the sale. It's about being a trusted resource partner. That's my goal.
Frank, thank you so much for your time. I certainly appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.